Demonstrations are planned around the country tomorrow in support of science. I'm David Brancaccia with the Marketplace Midday Update. Tomorrow, people in dozens of cities take to the streets for science. The famous quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson is, "The good thing about science is that it's true whether or not you believe in it." Yet, how government uses science is a partisan issue, with federal funds for research in question and the White House moving to cancel U.S. climate change plans. Some scientists feel the need to defend their work. Marketplace's Jed Kim has a report.
Hello. Do you want to sign a banner for the March for Science? We're going to carry it. This one's going to be in L.A., and we're also going to have a Pasadena one.
Tess Saxon-Fox and Magnus Haw are grad students at Caltech. She's mechanical engineering. He's plasma physics. They hand out info on the March for Science and Hawk $5 t-shirts. Really orange t-shirts.
Yeah, we're hoping to make a good, big, bright orange mark at the March for Science.
Their banner is filling up with signatures. They've staked out a strategic spot at the entrance to a Caltech meeting on immigration. Many Caltech students and faculty are immigrants, like engineering postdoc Sharsad Roshankha. She'll be marching for science.
Because I'm an immigrant, international immigrant, and I want to contribute for science. So it's important for me to participate with these guys.
Some scientists, hesitant about getting involved, took their cue from professional societies like the American Geophysical Union, an official partner on the march. Chris McEntee is CEO of the union. She says it's not only who can study and research in the U.S., but how much research can get done with budgets slashed.
If the federal government cuts back on its funding for scientists and the education of the next generation of scientists, people's jobs will be at risk.
Scientific institutions differ in their support for the march. The Field Museum in Chicago is officially participating. The Natural History Museum in L.A. is not. It prefers to avoid any whiff of politics, though staff are encouraged to march. That's the same policy at Caltech, where Sean Carroll is a theoretical physicist.
Quantum mechanics, gravitation, cosmology, where the universe came from kind of things.
He says funding is already a problem.
We're turning away graduate students for the first time ever because we can't afford to pay them. Our grants are being cut. It's a very real thing, and we're one of the richer places to be.
Carroll will speak at the Los Angeles March for Science about the nature of scientific inquiry and tying it into democracy.
They both share this wonderful idea that anybody can be wrong, that any belief is subject to revision when new information or new decisions are made.
He says democracy can glean a lot from science, about learning from mistakes and moving forward. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
A company that does software for expense reports has combed through its data and finds that Uber may be losing steam among corporate customers. Controversy at Uber has led to a string of bad publicity, and while it's still the dominant player in the smartphone-summoned car service business, Lyft is getting a lift. Marketplace's Adam Allington has more.
Over half of all business travel and ride shares in the first quarter of this year went to Uber. That's according to Certify, a maker of expense report software, but that's still only an increase of 1%.
That's growth, but it's not growth like they had been seeing quarter over quarter for several years in a row.
Alan Neveu is the chief technology officer at Certify. Meanwhile, reimbursements for Lyft, Uber's biggest rival, increased from 4 to 6%. While bad PR is a factor, some say what's really happening is Uber's reached the limits of its push to achieve monopoly status.
Basically, you give away the product at first so that you get huge market share, and then later on you recoup all your profits by raising prices and reducing reimbursement rates.
Evan Rawley is a professor of management at Columbia. He says Uber's dominance comes at a cost of billions in losses. Meanwhile, in most cities, Lyft is still a comparable substitute.
They're going to have to settle for duopoly profits with Lyft, and those are still going to be substantial. Uber's still going to be worth a lot of money. We're not going to see Uber disappear.
A lot of money, yes, but perhaps substantially less if and when Uber goes public. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
German police today arrested a 28-year-old man in connection with explosions last week targeting the bus of a German soccer team. Two people were hurt, including a player with shrapnel wounds. Authorities now say the incident has no extremist connection, but instead may have been an elaborate scheme to manipulate a stock. The soccer team is a publicly traded company. The BBC's Damian McGinnis has details for us from Berlin on what police suspect this guy did.
Prosecutors now suspect that he took out a loan. He then bought put options on shares of this football team, Borussia Dortmund, worth around about $83,000. You know, this, as you know, David, is a way of betting on the share price falling. What he wanted to do with this attack was seriously injure teammates or maybe possibly even kill teammates in order that the share price go down so much that he would then win a lot of money. Now, the share price did indeed fall after the attack and then fell further when this team sort of lost the game a day later and was pushed out of the league. But apparently he was found by investigators because he had bought these share options online from an IP address in the same hotel where the team had been staying and where he had also booked a room with a view over the road where this team bus was on its way to the stadium, where it allegedly, it seems, prosecutors believe that he activated the bombs remotely from his hotel room.
Now, worth a reminder that some European sports clubs are publicly traded companies. You can buy stock in a soccer team there.
Yeah, that's right. And that's quite a common thing here in Europe. But I think what was also interesting about this particular attack, there was a lot of confusion when it happened. There were a couple of letters claiming responsibility on behalf of so-called Islamic States, but another letter claimed responsibility on behalf of right-wing extremists. So there's a lot of confusion what was behind the attack. A lot of speculation in the international media. Here in Germany, though, a lot of people were quite cautious because we've had various attacks over the past years in which people have assumed it was Islamist in nature, and it turns out not to have been.
Yes, now under arrest, a financial speculator. Damian McGinnis, BBC in Berlin. Thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
And for your menu of weekend podcast consumption, I have a special series on what to do with more machines and algorithms getting hired. The three parts of Robot Proof Jobs are in the other Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed: universal basic income, a robot tax, micropayments in return for your private consumer data is one idea, widespread ownership of robots. There's even talk of an astronauts on the moon style R&D initiative to train people to better compete with tech, which is moving fast these days. Overnight, there was news that Tesla's Elon Musk is starting a company to connect computers to human brains. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.